Side 12.
At that moment, a rare event occurred. A customer entered Bygone Books. A meek man in his 50s, he came straight up to Russell's desk and asked if there was a section on poisons. Might be something over there in gardening books that are actually useful rather than just a lot of pretty pictures. Or you could try really prurient murder cases. Beside the glass-fronted bookcase next to non-strident feminism. The customer thanked him and went off to study the shelves indicated. Sarah, asked Russell in a quieter voice, how on earth did you get Eleanor to agree to the idea? It wasn't easy. I should think not. What was her reaction? Appalled at first. Sarah dropped into her imitation. But Sarah, it's your duty to be at home and cook lunch on Christmas Day. All that. And she's still very wary of the idea of going to Gary's parents. Because of the pink hair and the earrings? Yes, and because he's on the dole. To Mother's somewhat narrow mind, this means that his mum will be in curlers, his dad in a grubby vest, there'll be dismantled motorcycles all over the sitting room, and we'll be offered greasy fish and chips out of page 3 of The Sun. And are they like that? Honestly, don't know. I haven't met them. Gary himself is a nice enough lad, in spite of the hair. Talks pretty appallingly, but that doesn't mean anything these days. Even public schoolboys seem to roughen up their vowels deliberately. Street credibility is what matters. Russell smiled. I wouldn't have thought street credibility was something Eleanor has ever aspired to. No, her middle-class sensibilities are deeply threatened by the whole idea of Christmas evening, Shay Gary. So how on earth have you persuaded her? Well, actually, once we got all the token resistance and recrimination out of the way, it wasn't that hard. It wasn't at all hard by then. Really? You forget. Mother is being offered a licensed opportunity to snoop round 3 other people's houses. Of course, haven't thought of that. Russell nodded, and then noticed that Sarah's expression was still rueful. It'll be fine. The time will go very quickly. Yes, I suppose that's the main thing. She tried to look more cheerful, but failed. You know, I once met someone who claimed he went to a health farm every Christmas and had himself sedated for 3 days. I'm not sure that I believed him, but sometimes I can see the attraction. Russell made another attempt to shift her gloom. By this time next week, it will all have happened. Yes, Sarah agreed with a trace of bitterness. That's the bottom line of comfort on everything, isn't it? Maybe not very positive, but it works. You'll probably have a whale of a time. I'm sure they're all nice people. Yes, and all bending over backwards to be extra nice to the little widow woman. Don't be so cynical. It was a deserved reproof. Sarah knew she was being self-indulgently maudlin. But she still couldn't pretend that she was looking forward to the impending holiday, even in its revised form. Oh, I don't know. Partly I don't like the idea of being on my best behaviour for 2 solid days. I'm sure they're all nice people, but they're not people I'm going to relax with. You think you won't get a chance to let your hair down? Sadly not. Well, look. Russell was silent for a moment, as if making a decision. At the end of it all, if you do want to unwind, with no pressure, just to relax, come round for a drink with Bob and me on Boxing Day evening. Oh, thank you, Russell, but no, I don't want to interrupt your cosy wallpapering and Wagner and Peking duck. You wouldn't be interrupting anything. And anyway, I'd worry that Mother and Claire might feel a bit abandoned if I... They'd be welcome, too. He grinned, if any of you were still speaking to each other. Sarah couldn't make a decision. Christmas was already so daunting and complicated that she couldn't see as far as Boxing Day evening. Well, I honestly don't know what kind of state we'll be in by the end of... Russell opened his hands wide. Leave it completely up to you. If you want to come, come, with or without your relatives. If you don't, don't. Thank you, Russell. I'm very grateful for... Excuse me. They had been so involved in their own conversation that they had not noticed the approach of that rare visitor to Bygone Books, the customer. He was holding out a book he had found, Poisons in Common Use Around the Home. Would you like that? Asked Russell. Please. Russell looked inside the cover. That's 250, then. The customer handed the money across, and Russell put the book in a brown paper bag, observing, it must be very good. Yes, said the customer. It's a Christmas present for my mother-in-law. For the rest of the week running up to Christmas, Sarah still felt empty and disorientated. There was something that kept niggling away at her. Eventually, after much vacillation, on the afternoon of Christmas Eve, she went out shopping. And though she knew it was silly, when she got back home, she felt a bit better. Chapter 22, Eat, Drink, and Be Merry. It had arrived. They had made it to Christmas Day. Not only that, they had made it to the afternoon of Christmas Day. It was nearly 7:15 when the three of them staggered from Sarah's Renault 4 to the front door after lunch at the Sweetens. In the hall, they all paused breath. Goodness me! Sarah, leaning back against the door frame, spoke for all of them. Yes, Eleanor agreed, supporting herself against the banister. Wendy and Bran certainly know how to eat well. And drink well, said Claire, slumped against the wall by the door to her flat. Sarah smacked her lips. That pudding was beautiful. Claire nodded. And I don't know what that stuffing was in the turkey, but it was really yummy. Yes. And then having Stilton and nuts and port and, gosh, I feel like a barrage balloon. It was now Claire's turn to speak for all of them. The other two nodded, winded by excess. Well, said Sarah, at least none of us can complain that we haven't had a full traditional English Christmas dinner. No, Claire agreed, we had the works. Yes. Eleanor was silent for a moment. Of course, it never feels quite the same when you're not on your home ground. I mean, Mother? Sarah raised a finger of warning. So far the day had been good. They had exchanged presents amiably in the morning, and as anticipated, being among strangers had kept them from family arguments. Sarah didn't want that record to be spoiled the minute they were alone together. Eleanor took the point. Yes, dear. She stifled the most ladylike of yawns with the back of her hand and took a couple of steps up the stairs. Well, I think after all that I really must have a little lie down. Claire looked at her watch. But your hour is in 3/4 of an hour. Goodness, is it as late as that? Sarah looked at her own watch for confirmation. Oh, yes, said Eleanor with a wrinkle of distaste. Galleys. Mother, if you don't want to come... I didn't say I didn't want to come, Sarah. No, but I'm sure Gary's will understand if... Claire endorsed this opinion with perhaps a little too much enthusiasm. Of course they would, if you're tired, Granny. I mean, I know you haven't really wanted to come from the start. Have I said that, Claire? Her grandmother demanded imperiously. Well, not in so many words, but... I have accepted the invitation, Eleanor announced, as if this put an end to any possibility of second thoughts. Yes, but Granny, if you're feeling a bit... It would be extremely ill-mannered not to go. I'm sure they wouldn't mind, said Claire. Eleanor rounded on her sharply. What do you mean? Nothing. Sarah decided to put her oar in. Look, Mother, if you don't... But she too was overruled. No, I will go. I'm sure it'll be very illuminating to see how the other half lives. Yes, Granny, said Claire. And was Sarah being over-suspicious to detect the hint of a giggle in her daughter's voice? There was a long, long silence as Sarah's Renault 4 drew away from Gary's parents' house. And had anyone been able to see in the darkness, they would have observed a slight smile on Sarah's face, a broad grin on Claire's, and Eleanor's lips drawn tight into a thin line of pique. She it was who eventually broke the silence.
Well, Claire, I may say I think it was very unkind of you not to tell me that Gary's father was a knight.
Why? Her granddaughter asked ingenuously.
What difference would it have made?
I don't know. Eleanor pondered the question.
I might have perhaps worn a little more jewelry. Anyway, she said, you should have told me.
Sorry, Granny. Claire apologized, and then seemed to be surprised by a fit of coughing. Sarah suddenly suffered from the same tickling in her throat and had to jerk round the steering wheel as the car strayed curbwards.
Are you sure you're all right to drive, Sarah, dear?
Eleanor asked, her voice heavy with disapproval.
Yes, yes, quite all right, thank you, Mother.
Once again, all was silent in the car, until with a little sigh, Eleanor said,
The poor man, though.
Who? Asked Sarah.
Gary's father? Yes. I mean, there he is, a man who has devoted his life to his country's exports and had his contribution publicly recognized by Her Majesty the Queen, she tutted. And then his son turns out to be a spunk.
This time Claire giggled quite openly.
I think you mean punk, Granny. I know exactly what I mean, thank you, Claire, her grandmother snapped. Good, though, that pink hair, and he had 2 earrings in tonight. 3, actually.
Claire corrected mischievously. You've got a little stud in the other ear, too. Eleanor shuddered.
Well, it's not the sort of thing I would have expected even among the lower middle class, let alone the upper middle class. Their poor, poor father. Must be such a trial for him. Don't you agree, Sarah?
Sarah, who suddenly felt very heavy and weary, mumbled, Oh, yes, probably. But that wasn't good for her mother.
Come on, you can be more positive than that, dear.
No, I can't, not at the moment. I feel as if I'm going to burst.
Claire,
she remonstrated pitifully, I thought you said it'd just be a light snack.
I thought it would be,
her daughter wailed, but it was nice of them to go to so much trouble.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they usually have their main Christmas meal at lunchtime, but because we were coming, they turned everything round.
Oh, yes, I do appreciate it.
A vision of the huge plateful Gary's father had carved rose before her eyes.
Oh, all that turkey. And all that pudding, Claire groaned. Oh,
who was still cross with them, observed pettishly. You both seem to eat the of it.
Well, it would have been rude not to, wouldn't it, said Sarah.
Even so, she wished at that moment that she had risked offence and eaten just a little less. The bloated silence once again descended on them. Then Claire commented judiciously.
Mind you, I didn't think their brandy butter was up to the sweetens.
No, Sarah agreed. Shop-bought, I think. Warming to the game, she went on. And I think if I had to cavil, the chestnut stuffing was a little dry.
Yes, Claire picked up on the crest of a giggle. And the sparkling wine was rather sweet for my taste.
Sarah played along. Oh, I agree. And I'm afraid I could only award the Christmas pudding one crossed holly leaf.
Yes, Claire managed to say through her giggles. The £1 coins in it were a welcome change after the sweet and somewhat ungenerous 5p.
And the crackers were excellent, Sarah swept on deliriously, though my companion did find the background music a little excessive. I mean, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir is an acquired taste at the best of times, but in this instance their selection of carols was hardly, hardly. But no more words came out. She and Claire both broke down into arse of giggles. Finally, the last little ripple stopped, and silence once again reigned in the car. Eleanor let it establish for a moment before rebuking them.
Well, I think you're both extremely ungrateful and extremely rude towards our hosts.
Sorry. Sorry, Mother. Sarah was the model of contrition until another little bubble of laughter ambushed her.
Just mildly hysterical.
Not hysterical, Sarah, Eleanor contradicted. Ill-mannered and drunk.
Oh, yes. And very ungrateful.
Eleanor let the severity of this hang in the air before she observed,
Mind you, I agree the brandy butter wasn't up to the mark. And my second mince pie was all pasted with hardly any filling, and I found the sprouts a bit soggy.
Sarah didn't sleep too well that night. Partly, no doubt, this was due to the excesses of food and drink she had consumed. But once awake, her mind filled with restlessness, a feeling that she had evaded the issue, that she hadn't had a real Christmas. And with it came a deep sense of loss. This time it was not a complicated emotion. What she felt was very simple. She just wished that Henry was there beside her. But the feeling was not panicky and agonizing. Instead, she felt a kind of calm, bone-deep melancholy. Still, she was awake for less than an hour, and in the morning felt somehow purged by the experience. If she had got through the whole holiday without thinking of Henry, it would have been another kind of betrayal. As she sat in her kitchen on the Boxing Day morning, she looked with affection at the holes in the wall where Henry's shelf had failed. Soon she'd sort that out. Just a little polyfiller or tetrion and a dab of paint wouldn't take 5 minutes. Yes, she'd do it. But not quite yet.
Dad jotted gleefully. See? We've got over the worst.
What do you mean, love?
Christmas Day. We've done it. It's over.
Yes. A little pang of wistfulness tweaked at Sarah. Didn't really feel like Christmas Day.
That was what was good about it, Claire assured her. Broke the mould. No direct comparisons.
Nope. Except between different kinds of chestnut stuffing.
Yes.
Sarah smiled at the recollection.
Perhaps we ought to go away next year,
Claire suggested suddenly.
Why?
Asked Sarah, alarmed at the idea.
We're again just doing something different.
Oh, I don't know if I could. Sarah fought down the panic the suggestion had thrown her into.
Well, next year's next year. Who knows what kind of Christmas we'll have then?
As she said it, she thought of the changes that another year might bring. Claire could have moved out by then, been married perhaps, or be in some kind of relationship. And Eleanor, well, there was always the possibility that Eleanor would not be with them in a year's time. Sarah tried to put the idea from her mind. Whatever their differences, she knew she would miss the old boots savagely when she finally did die. Still, no time for gloomy introspection. She pulled herself together. What do you think about tonight, Claire? Do you really want to drop into Russell's alternative Christmas? Sure. Keep the variety coming. That is, assuming we survive our gynecological lunch. And do you think Granny really wants to come to Russell's? I mean, I know she said she did, but... Claire had no doubts. Oh, she'll come. Now that she really will regard as seeing how the other half lives. Do you think so? I can never tell whether she knows Russell's gay or not. She knows. Well, she always refuses to believe it when I mention the subject, gets very cross with me. She knows, Mummy, no question. And it intrigues her beyond belief. She wouldn't miss going to their house for the world. Sarah chuckled. Oh, well, I'd better go and give Russell a buzz. Alert him to the invasion of 3 more Valkyries. Claire consulted her watch. And then it'll virtually be time to go after the Ketterings, whoever they may be. Yes, I've only met them once, incredibly briefly. It is strange, Sarah mused, spending Christmas with people you hardly know. Better than spending it with just the family. It was mildly hurtful to hear with what conviction Claire said that, but she was probably right. Anyway, said Sarah briskly, at least we won't have to have full Christmas lunch again at the Ketterings. She laughed. I mean, no one would do that on Boxing Day, would they? Well, you were wrong, weren't you, said Claire, as the Renault 4, seemingly as sluggish and bloated as its passengers, chugged away from the Ketterings' house. Yes, Sarah concurred dully, I was wrong. It was very nice of them, though, Eleanor observed. Oh, yes, very nice. A vision of a mince pie larded with brandy butter loomed in Sarah's mind. With a ferocious effort of concentration, she chased it away. I mean, Eleanor went on, to change their whole Christmas round in our honour. Yes, everyone's been very kind. As she spoke, the image of a turkey leg, smothered in cranberry sauce and crowned with a dollop of chestnut stuffing, swam into her consciousness. It was harder to chase that away. Mind you, Claire began perkily, I don't think their cranberry sauce was up to the sweetens, and the turkey was tougher than the one we had at Gary's, and... For Sarah, who had just driven the turkey leg out of mind, this was too much. Please, Claire, no. What? Please don't talk about food, least of all turkey. I just don't think my digestion can cope. Well, we had to eat it, didn't we? Claire argued, after they'd gone to all that trouble. Yes, yes, we had to, but just let's not talk about it. Claire had the good grace to subside into silence. It was 2 or 3 minutes later that Eleanor spoke. Her voice was distant, musing. You know, she announced, if Alice Grant had been there, I think she would have been really reassured. Alice Grant, Sarah repeated, confused by this sudden non sequitur. The one who had the hysterectomy? Yes. Why would she have been reassured, Mother? Eleanor sighed dreamily. Did you see the way Mr. Ketterings carved that turkey? Chapter 23, Never the Same. Sarah replaced her teacup in its saucer and sighed with satisfaction. Lovely. Strange, isn't it? However full you feel, always got room for a cup of tea. Oh, yes, always, Eleanor agreed enthusiastically. They were both flopped in Sarah's sitting room with their feet up, husbanding their dwindling energy before the next foray out to Russell and Bob's. As a matter of fact, Sarah, dear, even though I knew we weren't going to be home much this Christmas, I did still make my expression of horror for one of incomprehension, Eleanor explained. You know, with the rough icing and the silver balls and the little tree and Father Christmas going down the slope on his sleigh. It looked like a slice. She made as if to rise. I could just slip upstairs and... Sarah raised a languid hand to stop her. No, Mother, no. Really, but no. Eleanor looked a little wistful. I don't know, it doesn't really feel like Christmas without a slice of Christmas cake. Plenty of time, Mother, it's only Boxing Day, you forget. Christmas lasts for about a week these days. But, she thought gleefully, we've broken the back of it. We really have broken the back of it.
Yes.
Eleanor looked so cast down that Sarah asked her with a smile, Go on, tell me, could you honestly manage a slice of Christmas cake at this precise moment?
Well, I don't know, Eleanor vacillated. Perhaps I... No, you're right, dear, I couldn't.
But she did sound absolutely convinced. At that moment, Claire came into the sitting room. On her face there was a strange expression, made up partly of accusation and partly of amusement. It was as if she was in possession of a private joke, and as yet undecided whether or not to share it.
Mummy?
Sarah looked across at her wearily. Yes, love? I've just been into the larder.
Oh? Surely you're not so hungry.
No, I opened the freezer.
Ah.
Sarah had a nasty feeling she knew what was about to come, but she tried to delay its arrival.
Why?
I wanted to put that necklace Gary gave me into it.
What?
That glow-in-the-dark disco necklace.
Oh, yes, I remember it. But why on earth in the freezer?
They keep their glow longer if you freeze them.
Do they?
That's remarkable. I wonder what it is in them. What kind of chemical can it be that...
Mummy!
Claire cut across her babbling.
Yes?
Stop trying to change the subject. She looked at Sarah with a knowing grin.
You know what I found in the freezer, don't you?
Well, Sarah's obvious discomfiture had now aroused Eleanor's interest.
What did you find, Claire, dear?
Claire ticked off the items on her fingers as she went through them. I found a turkey, Brussels sprouts, chestnuts, mince pies, brandy butter, Christmas pudding. Again she grinned at her mother. Do you want me to go on?
No, that's all right. There's plenty.
Eleanor was confused.
I don't understand. Why is this, dear?
Well... Sarah sighed sheepishly, but there was no way round it. She was caught, and she would have to spell out exactly what had happened. Christmas Eve, I don't know, I was out shopping, and I was feeling sort of, well, feeling that it seemed a bit sad that we weren't doing the full Christmas bit this year, and I wasn't going to get the chance to worry about the turkey breast being done and the legs still being pink inside, and I thought maybe it'd be a good idea if we had, you know, just the three of us. She felt herself wilting under their combined gaze.
And I thought that maybe, you know, just a little turkey and a few Brussels sprouts and a smidgen of chestnut stuffing, and...
She petered out.
As I say, I thought it might be a good idea.
She tried to cover her embarrassment with a brave smile, but the irony in the faces of her mother and daughter made her feel deeply stupid.
Mind you, she concluded in a small voice,
Russell and Bob shared a tall Edwardian house, not dissimilar to Sarah's own, on the other side of the town. The three women huddled together in the chilly porch as Sarah rang the doorbell.
Hope they're not in the middle of decorating, she said.
Or anything else, Eleanor muttered darkly.
Mother!
The door opened to reveal a beaming Russell. Wotan's farewell sounded from a distant cassette recorder.
Hello! Welcome to you all. Happy Christmas!
He ushered them into the warm. Eleanor said appropriate middle-class things while unashamedly around the hall. Sarah wondered what her mother was expecting to see. Erotic, obscene sculptures, kid Japanese houseboys.
This really is most kind of you, much appreciated.
Eleanor trilled.
No problem, lovely to see you, he said, helping her off with her coat.
How's the decorating? Asked Sarah as she removed her own.
Fine, done the landing and we're halfway down the stairs.
He gestured down a passage. Look, do go through into the kitchen. Bob's doing one things in there, and I think just now he's sorting out some black velvet.
Great,
enthused Claire, who seemed to have got a second or possibly seventh wind.
Come on, Granny.
Will I like black velvet?
Eleanor asked her granddaughter in a wary stage whisper.
Yes, of course you will.
It's not a drag, is it? Eleanor hissed through closed teeth. Claire giggled as she led the way.
No, Granny, it's not a drag.
Russell did not follow them straight away. He looked at Sarah and asked Jenny,
So, how's it been?
Fine, she said.
Well, not the same.
It will be, Sarah.
No.
She'd always known that, but accepting it was seen.
You, Russell?
Terrific. This is our fourth time right through the cycle.
Rather unique. Suddenly Sarah was aware of a smell that was horribly, ominously familiar. She sniffed suspiciously.
Russell, what is that?
He gave her a knowing smile.
Ah, that is our surprise.
Surprise? She asked weakly.
Yes, Sarah, specially in your honour.
What is it, Russell?
But she knew with terrible foreboding what his answer was going to be. She was, of course, right.
Well, Sarah, you sounded so wistful before Christmas, you know, all that about missing the traditional bit. And I mentioned this to Bob, and, well, he's taken pity on you.
In what way? She asked, resigned to her fate.
He's changed the habits of a lifetime. Especially for you, he's cooked turkey and Brussels sprouts and roast potatoes and chestnut stuffing and cranberry sauce and...
Ah, said Sarah. Then, like a tidal wave, the humour of the situation hit her, and ripple after ripple of laughter ran through her body. Tears streamed from her eyes, and it was a few minutes before she could see anything. When she regained the faculty of sight, she looked up into Russell's bewildered face.
Are you all right, Sarah?
Yes, yes, I will be. Another little flurry of laughter ran through her.
Go on through her. I'll just bend my face, and then I'll be with you.
Still puzzled, Russell went off to join Bob and his other guests. Sarah looked at her face in the hall mirror and dabbed at her tear-stained eyes with a tissue. At least, she comforted herself, this time their tears of laughter. That, after the last 2 years, is a welcome change. Then she thought of Henry and allowed herself a couple of quick tears of the other sort. She blew her nose, putting that indulgence behind her, and she thought of the last few months. Things were getting better. Slowly. Claire was in her flat. That was the biggest positive achievement. And Sarah had learnt things about herself. Some of the learning had been painful. She thought, still with a blush, of her encounter with Nick. She remembered the emptiness of her meeting with Janie. And she still winced at the recollection of the evening with Clifford and Gwen. But even through all those embarrassments, there did seem to be a tiny thread of progress. Each encounter had taught her something. Each mistake was one that would not be made again. Nothing would ever be the same, but sometimes that little confidence returned that she could go on, that she could sort out a new life after Henry. With that thought, Sarah France turned from the mirror and went to join whom she loved most in the world, and to eat her fourth full Christmas dinner in 2 days.
That was After Henry by Simon Brett, read by Prunella Scales. We do hope you've enjoyed listening to this Chivers audiobook, and if you'd like to listen to further titles, please contact your local library.